Yeah, so I love that passage, Psalm 19. As you know, oftentimes I use the words from Psalm 19 as prayer of illumination. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I usually don't say the my rock and my redeemer part. But I remember when I first got to seminary, I remember the very first day that I was there, they had a couple pre-lectures for us who were able to come early, a little time of orientation. And one of the very first lectures I heard was by a man named Daniel Jenkins, who later became my mentor. I haven't sat in on classes that I couldn't take because my schedule's full and I couldn't squeeze him in, but I wanted to learn from this man. But his original talk was entitled, "Can a Theologian Be Saved?" And, you know, when I went there, you know, we were all of us were just so very clever. And we were called by God to be pastors in the church. And, you know, we were pretty proud of ourselves. You know, we were God's own people. We went into that lecture kind of assuming that it was funny, you know, that there was a bit of a joke there because, of course, we were doing as God intended. But what Jenkins said, he said, you know, people who sit in pews believe what they believe because people who stand in pulpits say what they say. And then he challenged us and he said, how dare you think that you can speak for God? And of everyone who could lose their salvation, it is those with the audacity to stand in pulpits and explain what God's intention is for the world, that they get it wrong and take people with them. So, I hold that with this passage. It's like, you know, thank you, God, that your word is better than my understanding and that I can return to you, that I can return to your word when I get lost in my way, and I can return to your law, and I can return to your understandings, and your word can be to me a corrective. Now, as a pastor, you know, it's pretty, you know, I appreciate that you all come, and I understand it's perfectly voluntary. Imagine being a teacher, where you show up in your classroom, and every day you're teaching children or students about the elements of your discipline, and you're teaching them how to be. You're telling them that this is the truth. And at this moment is your best understanding, but gosh, you know, when I think of things that my teachers taught me so many years ago, I don't even really want to talk about it, but, you know, 50 years ago or more, and people are teaching me the very best they knew, and so much of that stuff was wrong. You know, and they were, they could say this prayer too. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. You know, and I can't even imagine being a parent. You know, those of you who have done that, kind of living with the difficulty of your, you want to teach your child the very best that you can offer, and you know your own fallibility. And so you put yourself out there and you teach the very best you can, the very best you know how. And you know very well that you are a broken vessel, and much of what you teach your beloved about what they need to know in life is going to later be found out to be in error. And some of it's actually going to be damaging to them. Thank God for the scripture and for honest intention to venture into scripture and really try to know it and to understand it the best we can, given all of the accommodations of time and place and space and the understanding of the world. But thank God that I can return to the law of God And I can hope to reform my own thoughts and understandings in a way that is ever more faithful to God's intention. So Jesus had this experience. He'd been baptized by John in the River Jordan, and then when he was praying, the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And then Jesus, as soon as the Spirit left, went out into the wilderness on something like a vision quest. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. Well, for 40 days, he fasted, and he didn't eat anything for 40 days. He was famished, and when he got to the end of the time, he had experiences with the divine in the form of Satan, who tried to tempt him to live into his vanity and to compromise his integrity. But he made it through that test. And when he was finished with the test, he came out of the wilderness and he was famished and he ate and he drank and he restored himself a bit. And then he set about his ministry. And so we pick up the reading here at chapter 14 or at verse 14 in chapter 4, and where it said that Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread all through the surrounding country, and he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where this was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed people go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began his first sermon. And he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all people spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words and the words that had come out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And then he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, a prophet is accepted except in the prophet's own hometown. But the truth is this: there were many widows at the time of Elijah, and when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine in all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And there were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elijah. And none of them was cleansed, except for Naaman the Syrian.' And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. And they got up and they drove Jesus out of town, and they led him up to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might throw him off of a cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. So last week we had that wonderful story from the wedding of Canaan, and I talked about how Jesus was a mama's boy and how he kind of had to bend to the will of his mother, who was this strong force in his life, who had spent her entire life teaching him what he needed to know to become a grown-up. You know, in the same way that we teach our own children, that we teach our grandchildren, that we teach the people who come into our lives, into our orbit, the very best we can. We teach them what they have to do to be grown-ups, and we love the people who have been in our lives and who teach us and bring us to understandings. And Jesus grew up in a world where people were looking for the Messiah, and as he goes to the river and as he's baptized by John and as he prays and as the Spirit descends on him and says, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am pleased." You know, as Jesus has that experience, and then he takes himself into the wilderness to find out what this means, and he finds out that what it means for him is to be a servant of the Lord and to be faithful to these deep understandings that are the tradition of his people, but it's different than what people had expected. Jesus grew up in a Judea that was expecting a Messiah that was going to come and free the people from the oppressive yoke of Rome. That somebody who was going to bring people to him, was going to be charismatic, that was going to build a force powerful enough to evict the master. Somebody who was going to be able to challenge this political oppression under which the people of Judah found themselves. And Jesus grew up reading the scripture through that lens and understanding by the good teaching of his mother and his father, of the people in his local synagogue, of those in the temple when he was 12 that had this understanding. They were kind of all in agreement about what the scripture intended for people to know, and they were all very interested in living into what the scripture had told them. And they wanted to be the people that were following God's way, very sure of themselves as God's own chosen ones, even as I and my classmates were when we first arrived at seminary. That we want to be on God's side. We want to be on the right side. And Jesus, in his time in the wilderness, he goes forth and he comes back and he reads the wrong passage. This isn't about God's might. This isn't about God restoring Israel. This isn't about what the people had expected the Messiah to be about. The passage, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of God's favor." What am I supposed to do with that? Yeah, I'm not poor. Yeah, I'm not a captive. I'm not blind. I'm not even particularly oppressed unless Karen makes me do things I don't want to do, but it's not the same. You know, I thought God was coming for me. Me, the powerful white male. Straight white male, living in a position of privilege in this country. I thought Jesus was coming to me to get things squared around, to set things right, to overcome those obstacles that are in my way of being happier than I can imagine even being. But Jesus comes with this other message. I've come to bring good news to those who are poor and to proclaim release to those who are imprisoned, to help all of us who are blind see what God intends. And it's like, and at first I think he's brilliant until I get a little bit underneath and he tells me that prophets have come to their hometowns before and they're never taken seriously. That people in their own hometowns always expect this ordinary person made good to reinforce exactly what Mama taught me. That we're going to go ahead and live into these values and assumptions that I've been taught from the time I was a baby on my mother's knee right through until this very day, to assume my place of importance, my place of privilege, within a society that I am the good guy and what I do is good. As Jesus unfolds the story a little bit more and says, you know, back in the day when Elijah saved the one widow, she wasn't a Jew. And in the day when nobody ever had been cured of leprosy, except for one man who wasn't a Jew, that God's word comes to me, through me, to the whole of the world. And sometimes that means that the privilege that you think is yours is actually a violence and a violation. And we need to hear this deeper message that Jesus goes into the scripture to ask, what is it that I need to teach is the very core of what it means to be God's person? And he knows that the very core of God's gospel is to preach justice and to bring justice and to live our lives so that they bring forth justice. And he's standing over and against his mother, and he's standing over and against his father, and he's standing over and against those who have taught him what it means as he's grown up in the synagogue and in the community and then in the neighborhood. And he needs to stand not with the consistency of what he has been taught throughout his entire life, but he needs to stand with consistency to God's truth. And God's truth is that God seeks justice for everyone. And we all must enter into a discussion with ourselves and with others and ask, how does the privilege that comes with being me prevent somebody else from having access to opportunity? How do the rules that I put around my life and my community actually work to exclude people that God chooses, that God loves? So they got angry at him. Can you blame them? I mean, I don't want to hear that message. I would be right in that crowd wanting to take Jesus right up to the edge of the cliff and toss him off. And there's an awful lot of us who in our hearts are going to try to silence the story of the gospel. In just such a way, we're going to have Jesus be this comfortable creature who always makes us feel just really good about ourselves. And we would like to take Jesus to the edge of the cliff and toss him off and recreate the safe God that we've been told about our whole lives. But Jesus, he just moved through the midst of them. Because when I feel like I want to exterminate Jesus and his message that calls me to be one who lives for justice, that message is already out there. It's in the midst of our stories. It is in the midst of our lives. It's in the midst of what we do every day. It is happening all around us because of what God does through us and to us in a larger community. And the Spirit of Christ is moving right through the community. And if I want to hold on to the gospel message and control it and extinguish that which calls for justice in favor of that which maintains my right to privilege, I cannot hold the Lord of life. The Lord of life will move. He will just proceed through the crowd. And the world will change according to God's purpose. I can either get on board with what God's doing, or I can live as a relic of my mother's dreams. Let us pray. Lord, this is a hard message today. But I thank you for this message. A message that invites us out of our comfort zones. A message that asks us to be those who seek after your truth, to care for the poor and those imprisoned, and those who do not receive justice. Open our hearts and show us the way to live into this amazing promise that you hold for us within the just community. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.